This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 29.
Hello, welcome to Marathon Training Academy, found online at marathontrainingacademy.com. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we have a confession from a lazy runner, as Angie interrogates me about my training, and a quick question about a missed long run. And I'd just like to remind you, if you'd like to get a jump start on your marathon training for this spring, you can become a member of Marathon Training Academy by going to marathontrainingacademy.com/member. So Angie, how was your workout today?
It was good. I did some cross training at the Y and had a nice relaxing day.
Like, what'd you do? Bench press?
Well, I did do some upper body weight training, and then I cycled on the stationary bike for about 40 minutes.
Then did some kickboxing, maybe a little cage fighting.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so here we are to work on another episode together. And we've been busy remodeling our bathroom, getting all the mold out of it. Mold's just not a very friendly thing to have in your bathroom, wouldn't you say?
No, and I should say our one and only bathroom is being remodeled, which means we have not had a shower or tub.
Yes, I haven't showered in many days.
Scary thought, and I'm actually sitting next to you.
Now, our house was built like in the 1970s, and for some reason they put a window in the shower. Not a good idea, because all kinds of water got in the wall and mold was growing in there, black mold. And Angie's mother is a bit of a health lover. And she's constantly warning us about the dangers of black mold. We were all going to wake up dead, discover that we had died from black mold poisoning. And I know it's serious stuff, so we finally were able to tear it. And there was some in there, and we were able to tear it out and tear out all the infected areas. And now we're getting all fixed up. All right, well, a lot of people are beginning to train for a marathon in the spring. Angie and I both plan on running at the Little Rock Marathon. She's doing the full and I'm doing the half. Angie's sister is going to join us and she's going to run the full marathon there in Little Rock. And if you're going to be there and like to meet up with us, send Angie an email. Send it to angie@marathontrainingacademy.com. So Angie, you've been in contact with some of our listeners and would like to read about some of the awesome progress going on out there.
Yeah, this first email comes from MJ, and she lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she says, I was just catching up on your podcast today on my 12-miler. I heard you signed up for the Little Rock Marathon. I registered for it on New Year's Eve. I selected the early start, which begins at 6 a.m., because the other two marathons I've done took over 6 hours to complete. I thought it might be nice to finish when the hoopla was still going on. I continue to derive inspiration and support from your podcast, so thank you. She says, P.S., you might appreciate this. On my 10-miler, I got a laugh out of running past the smoke shop where I used to buy cigarettes. I never thought then that I'd ever become a runner. I was definitely one of those people who would have thought and said that running a marathon was crazy, and why would you want to, etc. Now, even though I'm slow, I'm just addicted to the feeling of accomplishment when I cross the finish line. There's nothing like it.
That is amazing. I love to hear that, running past the cigarette store and I wonder what smokers think when you go running by.
Yeah, to go from damaging your lungs to improving your lungs, you know, that's great. So we'd encourage you, if you really want to stop smoking, taking up running is a great way to do that. I've heard from dozens of people who, when they started running, really saw the need to stop smoking and improve their health in general. The next one comes from our Facebook page, and her name is Marga, and she says, Trevor and Angie, I downloaded 25 of your podcasts from iTunes a week ago, and I've listened to 19 of them. I'm really loving it. In the last year, I've dropped from 246 pounds to 176 pounds, lower than I've been in my entire adult life. I am loving living the transformation. Even after dropping 40 pounds, I didn't think I could run until I started trying on the track at the Y with a friend. 1/10 of a mile, and I was wasted. But I kept at it and am now up to a 10-mile long run in hilly terrain, not to mention a 5K and 2 10Ks. I'm training for my first marathon. Thanks to you guys, I now know that it is possible. Just a funny aside, I've been running outside in the snow, but today, a 5-mile hill workout, I couldn't go outside because it was snowing several inches per hour, and I couldn't go to the Y because my youngest is sick. So I stayed home and ran up and down the stairs for 40 minutes. Runkeeper wasn't as impressed with my pace as I was.
Hey, that's pretty creative. Yeah, and dropping all that weight, that's a tremendous story. I always love hearing about people who really take action and change their life and their health. She went from 246 pounds to 176, and sounds like she's on a roll, too. So keep up the good work.
The final shout-out is from Steve, and he lives in Oregon. He says, "Thought I would share my story. Last year, I was 230 pounds and on a lot of pain meds. Now, to me, losing weight is one thing. The next thing is a whole new life. 20 years ago, I had a skiing injury and damaged my ACLs and had to undergo a number of surgeries. I never ran or really got into exercise again for the fear of re-injury. Over the years, I gained weight, and 4 years ago, my back went out and had to undergo two surgeries with a fusion. I continued to gain weight and felt that there was no hope. I was taking a lot of pain medication, and this was affecting my marriage and my relationship with my kids. My back was always in pain, even after all the surgery. I could only sit for 3 to 5 minutes, and no doctor could really help. The only thing I did feel I could do was walk. So I started walking 5 to 10,000 steps a day, which is the base to running. I had migraine headaches every other day. No doctor could ever give me the right pill to remove the pain. Many times, I felt like calling 911 for help due to the pain. I was a mess. I gave up hope on the medical field, and something in my spirit said enough. I thought that if I could drop 20 pounds, maybe this will remove the pressure of my back so I can sit and be a little more active. In July of last year, I started the South Beach diet and have lost 60 pounds. When I'd lost 30 pounds, I started interval training with just 30 seconds to 1 minute of running. I never really thought I could run. I remember my first day, I laughed at myself, thinking, me running, what a joke. But it was real, and before long, I could do 2 to 3 minutes, then 5, then 10, and 20, and this last weekend, 90 minutes of running at 8 miles an hour. Oh, the joy of life now, to be free. I'm off all pain medication, and my headaches are 98% gone. The lies we often tell ourselves when we are overweight. I know now there's a lot more in life if you'll work hard at it. I run 4 times a week now and try to get in 4 to 10 miles each time I go out. The goal is to run my first marathon in October and then do one every year. I don't care how fast I will run, but that I can run it. I know if I can do it, I will be able to keep the weight off and be happier. My marriage is now the best and my kids work out with me. My running experience has been so far all on my own, as I don't know any others out there locally. Your podcast has been a life support, and I've used the local library to learn as much as I can about my new love. Trevor, you're so cool. I like the fact that you're new on this journey. Just wanted to say thank you very much for the tips and the help you've been to me these past couple of months. God bless, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. I'm glad you think I'm cool. He didn't give up. That's what I can get from that message, is he didn't give up, and he probably felt like it many times, but he has found a new passion, and that's running.
Yeah, he's had a mindset change, really. I mean, he's overcome challenges on many levels, from knee surgeries and back injuries and surgery and migraines to having this whole paradigm shift that he can lose weight, he can be active, and now he can run a marathon.
Yeah, so keep up the good work, Steve, and all of you who are really making some amazing progress. We want to encourage you, just keep going. You do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life.
That's right. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. In this episode, we are going to ask Trevor about his progress in his half marathon training. As many of you know, he is a newer runner, and so he's had to overcome some challenges along the way. And as his concerned wife, I just want to see what he's learned so far and how things are going.
All right, well, bring it on. I'm ready. I'm ready for the interrogation.
For me, the process of watching him train for this half marathon has been interesting because I've tried to find the balance of, you know, being supportive and encouraging, but not being the nagging wife, like, did you get your mileage in today? Are you cross training? You know, I don't want to be a nag because he has to do this on his own, but I do want to be an encouragement to him. So hopefully I'm striking the right balance in all of this.
Well, I am in week 6 of my marathon training plan of 12 weeks. And we call this episode Confessions of a Lazy Runner because...
I didn't make that title up, by the way.
I just don't have the discipline that Angie has. I never have. She's like gets up early in the morning, jumps out of bed, does 50 push-ups, runs around the block 3 times, makes breakfast, cleans the house, gets the kids up, changes the baby's diaper, has breakfast on the table, just keeps it real, you know? Just organizational master, discipline, machine, marathon machine. She eats marathons for breakfast. She eats them and spits them out like a wood chipper.
All I'd like to say is, who is this woman and when can I meet her?
And me, it's a little bit harder to get my mojo rising.
All right, so what are some of the lessons that you have learned so far on this journey of beginning to run and building up your running base? What are some things that a lazy runner has to deal with?
I'll tell you. The first thing is, I've never liked to run. I've always really just despised it and tried to avoid running at all costs. I think maybe it stems from when I was a kid and I played team sports. We played soccer and I played baseball. And I know there's a lot of running involved in soccer, but as long as you're playing and your mind's not really on the running, you're more into the game. But it seems like every time we would mess up, the coach would have us take a couple laps around the field. So it was kind of like punishment. And then in PE class in junior high and high school, I had to run a mile or two. I forget how many. I usually just walked. I had a bad attitude. I wasn't a very good student, really unmotivated. So I've always been active and enjoyed sports, but hated to run. So, and I was kind of afraid to run, you know, because it's just uncomfortable. And it's just this certain level of pushing yourself that I wasn't ready to do. And after I met Angie, she's been a runner as long as I've known her. When we got here to Missouri and you started training for your first marathon, and I was supportive of you the whole time and really saw how happy it made you to be a runner, I decided that I would try it. So you encouraged me to just start with 3-minute walk runs. Run for three, walk for three, and go for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And so I tried that, and man, those 3-minute runs, I just felt like I was going to die. I remember having my stopwatch and just counting down the seconds.
10, 9, 8,
yeah. And, you know, wow, think about that now. Running for 3 minutes is easy. Running for 3 miles is now easy for me. But when I first started, and I don't think I was in that bad of shape, but just running three minutes was tough in the beginning because my lungs just couldn't handle it. So I've had to push through and battle it through to build up my running base. And now that I got my running base built, I'm looking forward to doing a half marathon, then doing a full marathon. What do you think?
I think that's great. And I think many people can relate to you because when you first start running, it can be painful and difficult. There's that learning curve that you have to master before you start reaping the benefits. So for me, and I know probably a lot of people, those first 3 miles are just a battle or a test of your body and your will. So now that you've gotten past that point, you know, you've really gotten to the place where you start reaping the benefits and running becomes more rewarding for you. Now, I know that you're not a morning person, and so that's kind of been another challenge, you know, finding time to run when you're busy and it's hard to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, I have struggled to fit in my runs. I missed an 8-mile long run last week, and it's just nobody's fault but mine. I really had to lie on the couch. Just felt the compelling need to watch TV and lie on the couch. So,
under the disapproving glare of his wife.
No, actually, the reason why we went to a wedding last week on the day that I was going to do my long run, and then I didn't make it up the next day, or the next.
Unlike his type A wife, who did her long run the day before.
Yes, well, I'm the kind of guy that packs for vacation the morning it's time to leave. I mean, that's when I like to pack.
Why do opposites always attract?
You pack like 3 days ahead of time. I pack the morning it's time to leave.
Well, I've got 4 people to pack for, too.
I just love the adrenaline of almost missing your flight. Just the adrenaline rushes out of this world.
I'll have to take your word for that one.
So finding time to run has been a struggle, I must confess. I've always feel good when I get out there and do it. Just getting my shoes on, getting out the door, and committing the time and thinking, okay, for the next hour or so, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about everything else I have to do today. Going to this place or the next, I'm just going to clear my mind of everything else on my agenda and just realize that this hour is going to be an hour well spent because I'm investing in my health. I'm learning how to be a more goal-oriented person by sticking to a training plan. And so, you know, there's benefits all the way around for me as I'm developing myself by training for this half marathon. So, I don't know, Angie. You don't struggle really to fit your runs in. How do you do it?
Well, I'm more of a morning person than you. And, you know, for most people, running in the morning does work best because there's less chance that it'll get crowded out when your day gets busy or something happens. You know, so for most people, a morning run is the best thing. But you have to know yourself. If you know there's no way that you're going to get yourself out of bed in the morning before work to go running, then you just kind of have to accept that fact and you have to schedule it in for the time of day that it is going to work for you, whether it's your lunch hour, whether it's as soon as you get home from work. You have to find the time of day that's going to work for you and do it consistently. If you plan every day to run in the morning and you never get out there and then you just beat yourself up all the time, maybe you need to kind of reevaluate your schedule.
Yeah, I think I've found the ideal time for myself. That sweet spot is in the afternoon, after my food is settled from lunch, before my oldest son is out of school. So that way I can get my run in and then be available for Riley when he comes home from school.
Yeah, and that's good so that you have that family time, but you're also making exercise a priority.
Priority is my middle name. My first priority is always delegating my other priorities. I love to delegate. Too bad I haven't figured out how to delegate all these runs. I can't give them to you. I mean, you would run them for me if you could, vicariously.
Some things you have to do yourself, that's for sure. So in the beginning, when you first started running and you were struggling to build up your running base, you started struggling with knee pain.
Yes.
And that kind of boiled down to a common issue that many people struggle with in the beginning is actually biting the bullet and buying some good running shoes.
That is true. I had a pair of cross trainers. You told me they were insufficient. I was too cheap to go buy new ones. So I started running in these cross trainers. I don't know how old they were, how many miles they already had on them. I had to go on. I was doing a 10-mile long run, and after about 4 miles, I had the most sharp, piercing knee pain I've ever felt in my life. I tried to tough it out and keep going, but, I mean, every step felt like jaggers.
Jaggers? Like a jaguar teeth or something.
Jaggers. Like Mick Jaggers. But every step felt like somebody was lancing me with a sword in my knees. So I had to stop running and just walk. And from that, I knew I had a problem then. And I think you advised me to lay off running for a couple days and then go to a specialty running store, get a proper pair of running shoes. So we did. We went to a specialty running store near our house. We even brought the video camera along. And when we talked about, I forget what episode it was, we talked about that trip and posted the video on our blog. It's still up if you want to see it. But everything, just like you said, yeah, they got me on the treadmill. They got the camera out. They evaluated my gait and my foot strike and recommended a shoe based upon my foot, and they put me in a minimalistic shoe, a Mizuno Elixir. And since then, of course, I've kind of slowly built back up to those long miles, but the knee pain has gone away, and I definitely should have invested in the quality running shoes earlier.
Definitely. Yeah, being in the right pair of shoes and then replacing them every 400 to 500 miles is one of the best things that you can do for your body. Really investing in quality running shoes is going to save you money and time in the long run.
So you don't have to have all the fancy gear. You might not have a GPS watch or a fancy hydration system or even an iPod to listen to. But if you're going to spend money, you need to buy a good pair of running shoes. I would definitely say that. Just go in and take out a loan if you have to. Sell your pets. Buy a pair of running. How much does mine cost anyway? I don't remember. He gave us a deal. It was a
97 or something.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not unreasonable.
No, it's a good investment in your health and your future as a runner.
But what about those guys, those elite runners who run like 400 miles a week? They're going through a pair of shoes every week.
I don't think any of them run 400 miles a week, but...
I think I've read somebody that runs 400 miles. Do not contradict me on this podcast.
100 plus miles is pretty common, you know, maybe up to 150.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I mean, I've done a little more reading in the areas of running than you, but, you know, maybe there is someone out there. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But still, that's a pair of shoes a month. It could be an expensive hobby.
By that point, you're hoping that you get some kind of sponsorship or someone who likes you enough to give you free shoes.
Yeah.
So have you had any running mishaps or any realizations along the way of ways to improve your training?
Yes, I have had some profound moments of enlightenment while I'm becoming a runner. The first realization I made that I can remember that really stuck with me was to purge my bowels before I go out and run. Just, I've had to turn around and come back home because I forgot to do that. And I've had to improvise.
And lost a shirt in the process. Yeah, a lot of runners struggle with gastrointestinal issues like nausea, maybe diarrhea. And so learning these things about your body while you're building your base and training is really important. It's going to prepare you better for race day. And so, yeah, it's best to go to the bathroom, you know, maybe a couple times before you go out running, try to, you know, get everything out, maybe use coffee, tea, something to help stimulate your bowels. So that you can go out on a run feeling confident that you're not going to have to make any stops in the bushes. Take a conservative approach when you first start running as far as when you eat. Some people can handle eating anything right up to the moment where they run. You know, they could be eating a cheese pizza while they're running and it wouldn't bother their stomach at all.
That would be awesome.
But others, you know, their systems are a little more touchy and it's best to give your body a chance to digest the food before you go out and run.
Yeah, I've learned to wait for 2 hours after eating before I go out and run.
Right, you probably have a more touchy system. So, yeah, that's good. Eat something that's fairly easy to digest and then wait a couple hours and you should be good to go.
Another realization I came to was when to stretch. I think I was stretching before my run at one time and you said, you stretch when you come back. Just go ahead and do your run and then after your muscles are warm, then stretch. And I remember you talking about how a cold muscle is like putting a rubber band in the freezer and then getting it out and trying to stretch it. A very vivid picture of like my muscles snapping in half.
Yeah, most runners don't know why or how or even when to stretch. So I think that's pretty common, your experience there. So getting in the habit of stretching correctly after each run decreases your chance of injury and it can also decrease your chance of post-run soreness too. So getting in a good routine of stretching the right way is very important and kind of one of the secrets of running injury-free for life.
Another one of the secrets that you talk about, too, is cross-training, which I haven't always been faithful to get in my cross-training days. This episode is called Confessions of a Lazy Runner. My training plan has me running 3 days a week, which is perfect for me. 3 days a week and in between cross-training. So sometimes I've rode my bike. I did a yoga video Tuesday this week, for example. I've gone to the pool. I've gone to the YMCA and did some work out there, upper body, lower body. And I know that when I can do those cross-training days, it really undergirds my running a whole lot. But man, I haven't always gotten them in. Hopefully I'll be okay, you know. And now that I'm getting closer to the race, and kind of at the last half of my training plan, I'm going to really be more intentional about cross-training. I like to procrastinate. I hone the art of procrastination to a science.
We'll see how it works out for you. Yeah, cross-training is really important, and I find that a lot of runners can't handle running every day of the week. And so interspersing your running days with cross-training days is really going to make you a better balanced runner. Especially beginners, they start out, maybe they feel really good running, so they want to run every single day, and they do too much too soon, they get injured, get discouraged, burn out, whatever. You know, as you become a more experienced runner, you're going to figure out what your body can handle, and maybe it does work well for you to run every single day or have the higher mileage. But when you're a beginner, especially as you're first starting out and training for your first marathon, I think it's essential to do the right amount of cross training.
I'm still looking for the book, 3 Easy Steps to Running a Marathon. But unfortunately, it takes more than 3 steps.
actually several thousand steps.
I remember going through college, I knew how much I could procrastinate in each class based upon, you know, how hard the teacher would grade and stuff. So, you know, I had my procrastination down to a pretty good skill. I probably did a lot of cramming to get through, which probably most of you listening to this, if you went to college, you crammed also. Now, Angie didn't because she's never done anything irresponsible in her life.
Right.
But
nothing I'm willing to admit.
But I've learned that I can't cram for a marathon, can I?
No.
Or a half marathon.
Yes.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Oh, okay. You almost gave me hope. So, yeah, I've got to get those cross-training days in. All right, another realization I made is to take water out of my runs. This summer, it was really hot and humid here in Missouri, and I was going 3 miles and figured, it's only 3 miles. I don't need to take any water. But you've encouraged me to take water along on every run and get used to drinking some, like a liter every mile.
A liter? What are you, a camel?
How much is a liter?
A liter is like your big water bottle.
Never mind.
Like a few ounces or...
Okay. I don't even know how I started that sentence. Okay, I don't know how I started that stupid sentence, but we'll try this again. So I've learned to take along my water bottle and drink a little bit of water every mile.
I think that's good preparation for the marathon because you're going to have the fluid hydration stations approximately every 1 to 2 miles. So getting the habit of taking in your fluids, your water, your sports drink regularly is going to prevent dehydration for one thing. It's going to help keep your energy level up. And the third thing, it'll prevent overhydration where you get so thirsty and then you drink a whole bunch and then you have water sloshing in your stomach and your system can't handle the overload of fluid. So getting in the habit of drinking your fluids regularly is going to make your long runs a lot smoother.
And, you know, another cool thing I learned as I am on this journey becoming a runner is it's just how awesome the races are. The adrenaline that I get from being at a race, and I've only done a couple. The first race I did was a 12K in Washington State, and I ran with you and my dad. And I think that was the furthest I'd ever run in my whole life.
Yeah, it was.
But I kept up with you, and we just ran together, and it was a beautiful day, and there's a lot of people. Everybody was happy and excited, and it was awesome. So I think I'm hooked. The race days are exciting, and I'm looking forward to Little Rock.
Yeah, if you've never participated in a race, I would encourage you to make that your next goal. You know, not only is the training motivating, it keeps you on target, keeps you on goal, but you also challenge yourself, you'll meet like-minded people. And, I mean, in my opinion, it really is addicting, like you said. You know, start with a race that matches your level of fitness. There are 5Ks held in almost every community around the world. So start with a 5K and work your way up. I mean, the first 5K I did, it was sometime after that I decided I'm going to run a marathon. And that 5K was kind of the impetus for pushing me forward in that decision.
Another thing I've learned is how cool it is to run with a partner. And I haven't been able to do that a whole lot, but I've run a couple times with you. I've ran with my dad, and I can go a lot further and have a lot better time if I have somebody to pass the miles with. Just last month, we ran in Pennsylvania with Angie's sister, Autumn, and it's really hilly there, and it was snowing. It was cold and bitter and windy and miserable, and there is no way I would have made it 8 miles if you guys weren't out there. I wasn't going to quit.
There's no way you would have made it out the door.
No, probably not. I would have been like, looked outside. Not today. Just having a couple more people to do it with me just got me out the door and crossed the miles.
I'm mostly a solo runner myself, but I do enjoy running in the company of others on occasion, especially if you run with a person maybe who's a little bit faster than you or a little bit fitter than you. It's a really good challenge to try to keep up with them and, you know, maybe just push you kind of to the next level. Now, I don't suggest that you do every run with someone who is either faster with you or who's going more miles because that can be a quick road to injury. But occasionally running with someone who, you know, is a little better than you can be a real challenge and an inspiration. And it may keep you going when normally you might have stopped and walked. This week you came home with an interesting new mantra, and I think we got to talk about the power of having a positive saying. Share with us what your new mantra is.
All right, just as long as you don't copy it, because this is just creative genius at work here, this mantra. I should copyright it, really. It's going to be the title of a book someday. For some reason, I was out running, and it was cold, and I had like 8 miles to go. And I'm thinking, I'd rather be inside right now. Then something stuck into my head, like, you need to tough it out. You need to step into my warrior. And I don't know what that means, but it just sounds catchy. So I just kept running, pound, pound, just swinging my arms, pounding out the miles, saying, step into my warrior. And so that was it.
That's really motivating.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you need some encouragement, just step into your warrior right now.
That's right.
There's a warrior inside every one of you listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this may be amusing to some of you, but it's so important to have positive self-talk going through your head when you run. Learn to recognize any negative thinking patterns and get rid of them. Instead, replace that negativity with positive things. You know, you can borrow a mantra that resonates with you, like...
step into my warrior.
Yeah, you know, if you dare. Or you can make your own up, and it may just come at the inspiration of the moment. You know, it may happen when you're on a long run, during a race. Anything. If it encourages you, if it keeps you going, that's your mantra. And I know for years, one of my mantras was, I am light, I am fast, I am strong. It's kind of just a silly little saying, but it kind of helped me push past the point where I wanted to give up. And I know in my second marathon, I was going for a PR. And so my mantra was, leave it all here. And I just kept saying to myself, you know, that to myself every time. I just thought, ugh, I can't make it another mile. You know, just give it all I've got. Leave it all here. So it may be ridiculous. You may not want to share it with anyone. But if it keeps you going, stick to it.
That's right. Whatever it takes to help you step into your warrior and leave it all there, do it.
That's right.
And one thing I learned about myself being a runner is how fantastic I feel after I get back from a run, which I never would have guessed that after going 5 or 6 miles, I come back feeling energized.
That's right.
When I was a non-runner, I don't think I could have fathomed that. You know, you figure you work out that hard, you're going to be tired for the rest of the day. But I'm actually more tired if I don't run than when I do. So I don't know how this works, Angie. There's some scientific phenomenon, but I feel energized after I get back from runs. I love the feeling. I feel cleansed on the inside. I feel like I've had a rebirth.
Wow.
A renaissance of emotional health washes over my utmost being when I run.
Really, there is research to back that up. I mean, running is one of those activities that stimulates every part of your being, your mind, your body, and your soul. And running is really one of the best cures for depression. I mean, talking about how it elevates your mood. It can help stimulate new brain cell growth. It can increase your mental alertness and release endorphins, which are those feel-good chemicals. It may seem counterintuitive, but running actually does give you more energy and you can accomplish more in your day. And I always think it's funny, you know, when I get back from a run, I look awful, but I feel great.
I don't think you look too awful, honey.
Well, thanks.
All right, Angie, so give me a lazy runner and maybe some other runners out there. I'm thinking of new runners, newbies like me, people that are getting into it. They're going to run perhaps their first half marathon or the first marathon in the spring. Give us some motivation and encouragement. What would you say to us?
I'd say that you've started one of the greatest journeys of your life and that it doesn't matter where you're at in your progress. The important thing is that you started in the first place and that you just need to keep going with it. Running's going to take you places where you never thought you would go. It's going to improve your life on a number of levels and really just set big goals for yourself. Build your running base, sign up for a race, and the sky is the limit, really. And if you're lazy, but you are sticking to a running schedule, you're starting to make improvements in that area, it can actually encourage you in other areas to become more disciplined. It can really spill over into other aspects. So it may just be something that may turn you more into an organized, productive person.
I don't know if I want to go that far with it.
Okay, then don't.
No, yeah, but it is awesome to be a runner now. I can go out and I can run 5 or 6 miles, you know, with no problem. Most of my coworkers, I love them, but they probably couldn't run around the block without getting tired. So what an empowering feeling now I have, this edge over them.
Exactly.
I have bragging rights now. For this episode, we don't have a quick tip. Instead, we have a quick question. And this question was sent in through our website from Andrew. And he says, "Hi, Angie. Training for my first marathon, and due to weather and due to work, I sometimes don't get the training quite in the order of the program. This week, I missed my 9 mile, and I managed to do 5 on the treadmill, and then I did 30 minutes on a bike. But I've never missed a long run. Is it going to matter that I missed this 9 mile? This week is 18 miles in the Missouri ice, only 5 weeks to go until Austin. P.S. I have been fairly fit and have had knee surgery 2 years ago. Double meniscus tear." Okay, so Angie, what would you say to Andrew?
This is a fairly common question that I get. And basically I want to say, no, it's not going to hurt you. Missing a run occasionally is not going to totally collapse your marathon training program, especially if you have your good running base built. It actually takes about 2 to 3 weeks for you to begin losing fitness. Now, it sounds like he missed probably one of his step-down long runs. You'll see in a lot of training plans, they'll build mileage for 2 to 3 weeks, and then you'll have a step-down week. So going from one long run up to another higher long run might be a little bit hard on his body. So he needs to really listen to his body. If he finds he gets up there in his long run and he's just not feeling quite right, he may need to stop and walk a little bit and then finish it out and everything. If you miss one of your runs, it's not going to ruin the whole thing. Just keep going from where you left off and make sure you listen to your body, train smart, and I think you'll have a great marathon, Andrew.
And if you would like more information on running and marathon training, please visit Angie's blog, marathontrainingacademy.com. And while you're there, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. And also get on the list to be notified when Angie's ebook is released. We thank you for listening to this podcast. We want you to know that you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. Well on my way.